very happy Wednesday morning, everybody. Wednesday, December 21st, 2022 is the Daily Cruise and Travel News Podcast brought to you by The Snood Factory. www.thesnoodfactory.com, your home for Made in USA clothing to keep your pooches, your puppies warm. Tom Drake on board the beautiful Oceana Serena. We are at sea today on our way to St. Bart's or St. Bartholomew. Actually, the island was not actually. The island was named after Christopher Columbus's younger brother. His name was Bartholomew. So he arrived there in 1493 and said, we'll call it St. Bartholomew after my brother. Luckily, his brother's name wasn't like Joey. Otherwise, you know, all the rich people would be going to St. Joey. Probably not a bad name, really, but it is the playground of the rich. It really is an expensive island. We do not dock there. We tender there with our small lifeboats, and normally only smaller ships are allowed to stop there for that reason. It'll never have a pier, so the monsters can dock there because the island is surrounded by shallow reefs, and there's no way the environmentalists will ever allow those reefs to be destroyed to let some big mine shift. We were in port yesterday in Barbados with one of the TUI ships. It's called the Mine Shift 2 or the 3, whatever. And I say this with all respect, but it's 4,300 Germans and trying to get through the terminal in Barbados. You had to be like an NFL running back, try to get around people. Move? Nah, we don't move. Anyway, we're going to be in St. Bart's. Looking forward to it. I used to knock St. Bart's, but last cruise we were here, and my wife and I had a lunch in Le Reveille that was just spectacular. French joint. Very nice. My server was Hungarian. That might have been the reason. Food was spectacular. The prices were nuts. It's an expensive island to visit and to stay there. I was curious, because I mentioned yesterday to stay at Sandy Lane was $3,000 roughly. I looked it up. The most expensive hotel in St. Bart's is called the Hotel Le Tony. The Hotel Le Tony. You can't call up and go from New York. Hey, I'm Tony. My name's Tony, and the hotel's named Tony. So me and the wife were thinking about staying there. What do you think? You know, what are you getting for a room? You know what I mean? With the breakfast, you know, the average room rate in season there for the baby room is $3,000 a night, and I'm sure there are plenty. Well, not this hotel. There's only 12 rooms, but they gave me the price on the baby room. I'm sure the big suite is $12,000 a night. I wouldn't want to stay there. There's only 12 rooms. That means I'm going to run into everybody. I like to stay in a big hotel where I don't have to talk to anybody. I'm tired of talking to people. But I suppose if you're staying in St. Bart at Hotel Le Tourney, you really want to meet the other people just to see, do you have more money than me? How much you got? Did you come by private jet? Did you fly in commercial? Whatever. It's kind of pretentious there. In fact, when you fly into St. Bart's, if you're going to stay there more than 24 hours, you're instructed to lift your nose just slightly. Hello. The air is much better up here. All right, that's an exaggeration. Stop rambling. Let's get on. Let's get to it. I mentioned yesterday, it is a holiday week, Hanukkah and Christmas, so everybody's taking off. There's not that much news going on, but there was an announcement from Crystal Cruises. Crystal, I thought they went out of business. They did go out of business under the other guy. For the people that have been listening and watching me for months, you know about Lim Kok Tee. He was the guy, was the chairman of Genting Hong Kong. He's also a multi-billionaire who owns 11 casinos around the world. He's got all the money in the world, but he didn't want to put any of it in to save his company called Genting Hong Kong. And for that reason, Crystal Cruises, Dream Cruises, Star Cruises went belly up. And he left. He also two shipyards, put people out of work, and whatever. The next day, he was alive. What did he care? Crystal Cruises is now owned by the A&K Travel Group. You know this if you've listened. A&K is Abercrombie & Kent. It's a perfect fit because Crystal Cruises, hello, I'm on Crystal. And then you go, I only go Abercrombie. They're very expensive. A safari with A&K in Africa. Hold on. You need an equity line. Well, they own it. And that, A&K. Let's go A&K. It's easier to say. That's Jeffrey Kent and his new partner recently, Manfredi Lefebvre, whose family owns Silver Sea. He owns Silver Sea. He sold Silver Sea to Royal Caribbean. He got involved with Jeffrey, and their partners in A&K now, and they got bored. They decided to buy Crystal and bring it back from the ashes, and that's what they're trying to do right now. The two ships they bought, they're old ships. They're being reimaged. Now, that's a word that caught my attention. Is that the right grammar? What is it? I looked it up because all the cruise lines now use that word. This ship here, the Serena, prior to the pandemic, was reimaged to the tune of $50 million. That's a lot of reimaging, right? Well, if you go to Webster's, isn't that where you go to get definition of the word? Definition of, you know, what it means? Re-image is the process of installing a new operating system on a machine. It includes wiping or clearing your hard drive entirely, and if you ever do that, have a doctor do it, babe, let me tell you, and then putting a new fresh operating system. So it has nothing to do with furniture, because they don't want to use the word refurbishment. No, that sounds cheap. We refurbished it. We spent $50 million, we have to have a better word than refurbish. So we re-image. So they're re-imaging the Crystal Serenity and Symphony. They're not refurbishing it, and it'll come back in May or June. They're bringing back all the old people. Jack Anderson's going to run it again. He was running it when it went belly up. Not his fault it went belly up. The parent company went belly up. But let's get to the point, Tom. Crystal Cruises announced that they're bringing back, or they've talked into coming back, because basically you would have to talk people into coming back to work for a company that went belly up and left you stranded and screwed without money, didn't pay you. Not their fault, but just the name, bad luck. You know, Crystal means, how do I get home from here? You're on your own. Four of the captains have agreed to come back. They have a history with Crystal. I only bring this up because two of the four captains that are coming back are Croatian, and I'm a big fan of Croatian officers. We have quite a few here, staff captain, safety officer. They are professional, dedicated, and part of the reason is going back years ago, they couldn't get on a cruise ship. It was all Brits, Norwegians, Italians and Greeks. I remember NCL years ago, a Finnish captain came on. We're like, where'd this guy come from? No, we don't have Finns. It's the Greeks, the Italians, and depending on the cruise line, Celebrity was Greek. You know, Princess was English, Costa was Italian, Sidmar before that. But now you see, there's a lot more opportunity. In fact, I was talking to our staff captain. He's 25 years in the business, and he's 44 years old. And of course, our captain is Bulgarian. He's probably 61 or 62. And where did he start? He started on tankers and freighters. And I asked our staff captain, did you start on a freighter? He goes, no way. Are you kidding me? I went right on passenger ships. I'm not going to be on some tanker with six guys passing gas and, you know, drinking them. That's not my thing. Because he was, when he got ready to come out to sea, there were a lot of passenger ships. In the beginning, not so much. So they have four of the original captains. If you care about Crystal, Google it. You'll see the press release. One of the guys' names, he doesn't say where he's from. His name is Berger, not Booger. That would be my problem. His name is Berger J. Vorlin. I don't know why he bothered with the J, but yeah, according to the Crystal, he has an extensive maritime career, and it began when he was 19. So when he was 19 years old, chances are he was on a freighter or a tanker. Out here in the cruise industry business, I asked the staff about it. You come on first as a cadet, and that's an ugly job. You do everything nobody wants to do. Then you're a third officer, second officer, first officer, safety officer, staff captain. When you get through all those, then you get to be the captain. And that's a long process, 25 years, you know, before you'll actually get the real gig. Anyway, I'm rambling on. You can look it up, Google them, I should say, Crystal. Story along the same lines, because Crystal Cruise used to be owned by Limcoke. And as I mentioned, when they went belly up, not long after they went bankrupt, he started a new cruise line called Resorts World Cruises. One ship called the Genting Dream, which he actually owned with the previous company, and the bank didn't care that I know he's got a lot of money, but he doesn't want to spend it. You know, it's one thing that you apply for credit and you say, you know, I'm worth $13 billion. They go, oh, he's worth it. But then look back and realize he doesn't want to spend it because he could have spent money to save Genting Hong Kong, and he refused to do it because it was in the pandemic and he didn't know what was going to happen with the business, so it was easier to stick it to everybody. So he stuck it to everybody. 30,000 creditors got hung up when he went belly up. But that didn't matter the bank. So he has the Genting Dream now under a company called Resorts World Cruises. And they announced yesterday they're celebrating a new milestone. What is that? You paid your bills? No. It's the fact that they had a maiden voyage to a place called Surabaya. 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 It actually means, it's a combination of the word Sura, which means shark, and Baya, which means crocodile. So they went to a place that's, the name means shark and crocodile, which is ironic because it's a Limcoke Day ship. I looked it up because I was hoping it would be a really bad place so I could beat up on it. It's not. And I mention this because we have so many guests. I know who listens to this. You've been all over the world, but I bet you haven't been to Surabaya. I bet you haven't. It's in Indonesia. It looks great. They have a new pier there. It's in a commercial port, but there's a terminal. It's not like the third world countries that you've been to many times. There are a lot of nice things in the city in Surabaya. And so Michael Goh, who's the president of Resorts World Cruises, said that they're so excited to include this. They made a big deal of it. You're going to a new place. So what? It happens every day, but they have nothing to brag about at Resorts World Cruises. Now, by the way, don't go there. Don't sail on that ship. No offense, but it's all Asians from Malaysia and Singapore, that area. You're not going to fit in. It's not going to work for you. They're probably not going to have a menu to like either. But for all of my friends that listen to this, maybe you want to look it up and see who's going to Surabaya and add that to your list. There's a war about to start in the cruise industry. How about that for a teaser? Coming up in the 24-25 season, it's not that far away. Let me tell you what's happening. You've heard me talk about it. MSC is coming into the United States in a big way with five mega monster ships, three in Miami, one at Port Canaveral, and one in New York. And they are going after NCL and Carnival and Princess. In a way, Princess is all over the world. They're big out of Port Everglades, but not like the others. Royal Caribbean has announced for the 24-25 season, there'll be eight ships sailing the Caribbean from numerous ports. They are not fooling around. They're going to be year-round out of Bayonne, They're going to be sailing out of Bayonne in the season. They're going to be sailing out of New York in the season. They're going to be sailing out of Galveston. They'll be sailing out of Port Canaveral. They're sailing out of Tampa. They're sailing out of Miami. I mean, they are coming in. This isn't by mistake. This is a head-on. MS, your choice is, if you don't mind being with 5,000 people and a lot of kids. We have young people on this cruise, you know. It's Christmas, the holiday cruise, they're here. We only have 16 teenagers on board. But to our normal Oceania guest, that is like the devil is sailing with us. 16 young people. They look, one is too many for most of our guests, but they were already in the pool 7 o'clock this morning, banging around and splashing, looking for the diving board. It'll be fun. Now, luckily, we have one sea day. The rest of the cruise is ports. So the kids are going to get off with their parents and hopefully stay there. I shouldn't say that because, you know, it's business, but it's not the normal look around here. Once in a while, it happens during the Christmas. But if you don't mind children and noise and big ships, boy, your options are amazing for the Caribbean going into 24-25. Everybody's going to go head-to-head. NCL and Princess and Royal Caribbean and Carnival and MSC. You talk to your travel agent. You can probably try all of them, and I bet you there's going to be some really good deals. It's a good thing for the United States because all of those ports, they need baggage handlers, they need check-in people, they need bus drivers, the Uber drivers. They're also they're out of Baltimore too. Royal Caribbean is going to be out of Baltimore, Tampa, Port Canaveral, New York, Bayonne, Bayonne's Jersey, so it's pretty crazy. Alright, this is a public service time now. Buckle your seatbelt when you're on a plane. Buckle, let me say it again. I don't like to fly. I'm a bad flyer. I don't get out of my seat, and I never have my seatbelt unbuckled. Once I'm in the seat, I stay there with it buckled. I don't get up and get something out of the overhead 67 friggin' times. I see this all the time. I see people when the captain says, we're about to land, take your seats, and the guy's up there getting something that he has to have right then and there. When we're 3 minutes away from landing, this knucklehead has to get something out of the overhead. Hawaiian Airlines, you saw it. I'm sure you saw it in the news. I wasn't going to talk about it because I'm a terrible flyer. This is what I dread. Hawaiian Airlines on the way to Hawaii, from Phoenix to Honolulu, without warning, hit violent turbulence. I mean violent. And from what I've read, and I read, you know, I read, I went to school. Shut up. I know what I'm doing. This can happen at any time. It isn't related to even thunderstorms. It's just the world is crazy. I'm not going to say global warming either. But they went nuts. It dropped down twice, and all kinds of people got hurt. Here's the story, though. Tiffany Reed, I won't say her name. She just came back from going to the bathroom. Now, I don't know whether the seatbelt sign was on or not, but you know what? It's on. I don't get up. I hold it. people ignore everything. It's amazing to me. And she just sat down and didn't have her seatbelt buckled. And next thing you know, she hit the ceiling, cracked the panel, and she's laying on the floor. And she didn't know what happened. Well, she what happened? She was walking around and she got hammered. And her daughter was next to her, buckled in. Nothing happened with the daughter. They got the mother up, put her in the chair. She had a headache. She had to go to the hospital. Buckle your seatbelts. Now, I know you have to get up and go. Believe me, we flew back from Dublin on this awful Aer Lingus flight. We were supposed to be in business class, and they changed the aircraft, and we ended up with 400 people in economy. And unfortunately, we ended up in the fourth row on the plane, and the bathroom was ahead of us. And there were seven or eight people in line at all times. And I finally said to the flight attendant, am I wrong here, but shouldn't they be sitting down until it's time to unload? He looked at me like, what am I supposed to do? So there you go. You hit that turbulence, and those eight people, like ping pong balls, banging around. Buckle your seatbelt. Please, have a little common sense. I hate to sound so... by the way, the National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the incident. And they're really only going to look into one thing. Was the seatbelt sign on? Did air traffic control warn them about it? They're not a good system for that. Other planes will say, we just got our ass kicked. Be careful. That's all they can hope for. And you just have to be careful. I guess that area around Hawaii can be that way. And of course, the airlines are like, you know, the chief operating officer, John Schnuck. I'm not kidding. The guy's name is John Schnuck. He's the COO of Hawaiian Airlines. Mr. Schnuck said that such turbulence is isolated and unusual, noting the airline had not experienced anything that in recent history. Recent history would be the last week, maybe 2 weeks. Three flight attendants got injured. When I see flight attendants and they're out there and it's really rough and they're still trying to give people, where's my water? Give her a break. She could break her head. I worry about it the entire time. And Mr. Schnuck, I would go for a name change there. I'm sorry. Who's the new CEO? Got some schnuck. Some schnuck is in charge now. There you go. All right. And finally, I think it's finally. What time are we at? Am I too long? What time am I? Oh, I'm already talking 16 minutes today. Come on. It's supposed to be a short thing. I'll go real fast. I've been visiting St. Thomas for years, and I did not know this because we don't go to St. Thomas. Oceania does not go to St. Thomas or St. Martin. They're quite touristy. We go to other places like St. Barts and other things. I did not know that the Frenchman's Reef must have been damaged in the hurricane, and Marriott never rebuilt it. So since 2017, the Marriott has been closed at the corner. When you come around the bend, that's Frenchman's Reef. And now it's being redeveloped. Guess what? It's being reimaged. It's being reimaged, but not as a Marriott. It's a Marriott property. It's a Westin. One hotel will be a Westin, and the other one, they're inventing an autograph collection hotel that's called the Morningstar Boy House Beach Resort. Now, look, this is all smoke and mirrors. This drives me crazy too. Every hotel chain has to have 35 brands. How about you have two or three and make them good? I was talking to friends last night from England. They stayed three nights at the Hilton in Barbados. They said it was horrendous. And they were paying $600 a night to stay at the Hilton in Barbados. They couldn't believe it. I don't know what happened to the people that are supposed to maintain the brand quality, whatever the word you want. Anyway, if you like St. Thomas, the re-imaging, the Marriott, it'll become a Westin, which could be a four-star, could be a five-star, could be, depending on the day of the week, could be two. And then this other Morningstar Hotel, the Boy, B-U-O-Y, you know, like boy in the water, house, and H-O-U-S, maybe they're going for the German market. It'll have 94 guest rooms. I bet it's going to be pricey. But I was surprised because I didn't realize I stayed at the Marriott. It was great. I'm not knocking Marriott. But the other brands, I stayed at the Courtyard by Marriott in Barbados a few months ago. I won't say another word. There was a Courtyard. I'll give them credit for that. All right. This story I'll tell you about tomorrow. The Norwegian Dream just completed 20 years of service, and I'll tell you why that's a good ship to be on, because it only carries 2,200 guests. But now I've reached my limit. I'm not talking another way, not for the money I'm making. I'm making money. It's a happy Wednesday, hump day. All right, have a good one, and we'll be bouncing around at sea. It's a little bumpy, not too bad. And tomorrow I will speak to you from St. Bart's, and I will have my nose a little bit in the air. Have a good day.